Let us turn to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we have gathered ourselves together this morning, and we are thankful for the opportunity, thankful for the beautiful day you have provided. And now as we sit for learning, we pray, Father, that we might dismiss the cares of this life and not allow Satan to distract us from thy message, but they might meditate upon it, focus, keep our focus on thee, as our God would bless us. And so we commit this time into thy care and keeping in Jesus' name. Amen. With the help of the Lord, I would like to turn this morning to the second epistle of Peter, chapter 1.
Ljubezni, čitat će se iz druge poslanice Petrove, glava prva.
Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, and whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having accepted the corruption that is in the world. Escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath shewed me. And moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunning devised fables when we made known unto you the power of and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well, that if ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn, and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but by holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost.
Gracious God, our Father in heaven, we come before thee together as a congregation now upon bended knee, Lord, beseeching thee that thou wouldst be gracious to us and hear our prayer as we would offer it unto thee. We thank thee, God, that thou art so powerful and yet so loving, Lord, that thou dost even hear a mortal man's prayer. Lord, that thou dost look down upon us and art willing to hear what we would offer unto thee in supplication and in prayer unto thee. And we give thee thanks. We give thee thanks for this opportunity, Lord, where we have direct access unto thee and bring our prayers and petition unto a kind and loving God. And so we just pray thee that thou wouldst grant grace unto us as we would come before thee in prayer and that thou wouldst hear our petitions. Father, we would worship thee. We would give thee the praise and the honor, and we would thank thee for a beauty of yet another day, Lord, a day that we have set aside, a Sabbath day where we lay aside our earthly cares and concerns and come into thy house together, one and all, Lord, to hear thy word being preached to us, Father, and to have the opportunity to pray together unto thee, to sing songs together unto thee, to have fellowship one with another, to encourage each other and to strengthen and upbuild, Lord, each other in our faith in thee. Father, may we count our faith in thee to be most precious in our lives. Lord, that we would believe in thee, that thou canst do all things, and that thou dost love us, and that thou dost have the best for us in mind. Lord, so we just pray thee that we would come before thee now today in spirit and in power, Lord, worshiping thee in truth. Father, we would give thee our thanks. Father, thanks for a measure of health where we can be together in the sanctuary here in this day to be one with another. Lord, we give thee thanks for this gift of life, and we give thee thanks for food and clothing and shelter, peace in our land, Father, and so many things. Father, when we count our blessings, Father, they are truly innumerable. And so for all the blessings, Lord, that thou hast given to us, we want to render unto thee our heartfelt gratitude. Father, we would also bring supplications before thee. Lord, we would pray for those who are in great need in this day, Lord, that thou wouldst be the healer, the protector, the comforter, as only thou canst be. Father, we are limited in our knowledge of what each other are going through, Father, but we know that thou dost know all things, and so we would commit all of us, Lord, unto thee, Lord, that thou wouldst be he who provides for each and every one of us. Father, we would pray, Lord, also for those who know thee not, Lord, that they would be convicted by thy word, that they would recognize that thou dost love them in such a great manner, that thou dost send thine only begotten Son, that he would be that supreme sacrifice once and for all, that their sins would be washed away, and that they might be able, in faith, Lord, to walk in holiness before thee, and then one day to stand in righteousness, not their own, but the righteousness of Jesus Christ before thee. Father, we thank thee for these gifts. Father, we thank thee for the exceeding great and precious promises that we have read about in this morning hour. Father, may they become alive unto us, and may we have faith and believe in that. Father, we would also pray for our children in Sunday school, Lord, that thou wouldst bless them, that they, Lord, might be attentive to hear what the lesson would be, Lord, that they would remember it, and that they would live thereby throughout their years. And so, Father, we know we all have a common enemy, an enemy who wants to take away our focus and our attention upon thy word and what thy spirit would speak to us in this morning hour. Father, truly, he would have us to think about other things, or to be discouraged, or to be critical. Father, that's coming from Satan. But help us, Lord, by the power of the Spirit, to have this divine nature from the divine power, to be able to focus, to be able to let thy Spirit mold and make us into the image of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, there are truly many things that we can bring in prayer unto thee. We are just so thankful that thou art a God who loves us, who knows us, who cares for us, and we just pray thee that we would give our lives in submission over unto thee. And we know that we will be blessed. These things we do pray, asking them in the blessed name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
The Apostle Peter, in writing this last letter, if you will, not necessarily to any individual church, but that to the brethren. And realizing that, as he mentions here, knowing that shortly I must put off this tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has shewed me. So he was at the end of his life, so to speak. He knew that he was not going to be around long, and he wanted them to understand the scriptures well enough by way of remembrance. And so he addresses the believers, which includes us as well, by saying that grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and Jesus Christ. So he wanted us to realize and understand that we know this through the knowledge of Jesus Christ. The only way we can obtain that knowledge, there are several ways. One is by personal study at home, reading the Bible, reading the scriptures, knowing what it says, and obtaining that knowledge pertains to our way of life, what we need to do, what we understand of the scriptures. And so it comes by the way of knowledge. And this is what he's saying to us here. He mentions knowledge in several places in here, in this chapter we read. He wants us to increase in knowledge, to understand what the Bible says about our soul's salvation, about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, about God, about how we ought to live our lives, how we ought to conduct ourselves. And so this all comes by the knowledge that we obtain through reading the scriptures. And he calls it, a divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. And so he encourages us here. He said, whereby we are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might be partakers of the divine nature. So you see, we realize that there are promises in God's word. Number one, that he promises he will never leave us nor forsake us. He also promises if we believe in his Son, Jesus Christ, we will be saved. And we also know that in his promises, that if we will obey the scriptures, live accordingly, that we one day will be with our Lord and Savior throughout all eternity. And so these are just a few of the promises, not to mention the many other promises that we have, we can cling to and believe in. And so he encourages us here that we can be partakers of the divine nature, which is nothing more than the Christian way of life, the Christian walk. That's the divine nature he's referring to. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And thanks be to God, we read in the Psalms how David explains and talks about how God has taken him up out of a miry clay and set his feet on a solid rock, which is Jesus Christ. And this is what we have escaped, this corruption that is in the world through lust. And so we as believers, we that have made a covenant with the Lord, we that have been baptized in the likeness of his death, we have this privilege and this, if you will, and these promises to cling to, that we can be a part of this divine nature, and that we have been able to overcome the evilness, the sins that so easily beset us. We read in Revelations where Christ spoke and wrote to the seven churches. And in every one of those cases that he wrote to them, he mentions about overcoming. And this is what we as believers learn to do through the knowledge of Jesus Christ and through his word, we learn to overcome. Overcome what? Overcome this corruption as he speaks about it here. Overcome the sins of this world that so easily beset us. We're still in human nature. We're still human beings. We got flesh and blood. That has not been changed. But what has changed is us in our minds and in our hearts, the desire to serve the living God. Paul writes to us that we renew the renewing of our mind, that we have when we become converted, we have a different outlook on life. We have a different outlook on what sin does to us. We have a different outlook on what Christ means to us. And so that by the renewing of our mind, we become stronger. We become aware of and the knowledge of our way of salvation through Jesus Christ. And so in this, he encourages us here. How can we do that? Beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, temperance patience, patience godliness, godliness brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness to charity. These things are part of our lives. They should be a part of what we exercise on one another in our lives, to our neighbor, wherever we come in contact with anyone. If we don't come in contact with anyone, we still do it anyways. And so he's encouraging us here. We have the faith. We have faith that we are saved. We have faith that we believe in Jesus Christ. But Paul reminds us in the chapter 13 in Corinthians that though you have faith that can remove mountains, if you don't have love, you don't have anything. And so he's encouraging us here, brotherly kindness and charity. Love, in other words. So you see, we add these things to our faith. Virtue, meaning a moral excellency, meaning that we are moral thoughts and desires are of excellency. In other words, they are guided by the leading of the Holy Spirit. This is what virtue means. This is what our life should be, a part of this virtue. And virtue to knowledge, again, learning and understanding, growing in grace, growing in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You see, we grow in grace. How do we grow in grace? By the experiences that we go through. We've learned to trust the Lord. We've learned to experience what it means to go through some trials and tribulations and come through them, and God cares for us. We look back and see where God took care of us. God served us. God helped us get through that. That's the knowledge that we learn. That's the experiences that we get from this. And of course, it builds on as he calls it, temperance here, which is nothing more than self-control. How do we deal with self-control? It all comes back to our own minds. We can only control ourselves through our mind. The Apostle Paul writes to the Romans in chapter 7, and he talks about how the life, the sin that besets us, the life that's in us, the sin that's in us, our mind is not what we want to be a part of. Our mind is not into the sin part of it. Our flesh and our nature is, but we try to do away with that. We try to acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why it's so important, and he teaches us to be spiritually minded, not carnally minded. Reverse reading chapter 8 of Romans, where he talks about being carnally minded and spiritually minded. There's a big difference. But yet we're in this life, we're in this flesh and blood, and it's so easy sometimes to be carnally minded. Simply because of the things that we have to do, the places we have to go, what our life consists of, we still find ourselves struggling sometimes to be spiritually minded and not carnally minded. But dearly beloved, we're encouraged by God's word to be spiritually minded in all things. And so this is what I believe here when he talks about being temperance, self-control. No one can do this for you. You have to do it yourself. You can't make decisions for me in my spiritual mind. You can't even make decisions for my carnal mind, much less spiritual. So you say, I have to make that decision in my own mind. What I want to do, how I want to give in to sin, how I want to avoid sin, how I want to read the Bible. All of this comes in my own desires, my mind. And so when we find ourselves devoted to this, encouraged by the word, because we have the knowledge of Jesus Christ, we find ourselves interested in serving our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ by self-control. And so this is what he's encouraging us here. Then that works into patience. We know that we have to have patience. Sometimes we ask the Lord to help us. We ask the Lord to do things for us. It don't come instantly. Sometimes it does. I have incidents when I've asked the Lord to look at, take care of this for me. Right then it does. It happened. Just like that. And then there have been times when I've asked him and I've had to wait on him. Wait on the Lord sometimes. And probably the best example I can give you is when I decided I want to get remarried. And I asked the Lord for my wife to be now. And I, you know, the answer didn't come right away. But I had to have patience. I had to wait. I had to wait on the Lord to acknowledge it with her. Waited on the Lord for my own answer. And sometimes it takes a little patience. It takes a lot of patience. Depending if you're like me, you run out of patience. Sometimes I have a lot of patience for the Lord. And I got patience to wait on the Lord. But I don't have patience when a guy's sitting at the red light and he's looking at his car and he's looking at his phone and he ain't paying any attention to the light's green. Let's go. So, you know, your patience varies, let's put it that way. But he's encouraging us here, temperance, self-control. Don't get bent out of shape because the guy didn't leave, the light turned green. Self-control. Those are little things. They may not seem like much, but let me tell you, this identifies our Christian walk of life. If we get all bent out of shape and start yelling about and get all nervous about because things ain't going all right, that is not control. That is not self-control, nor is it patience. So you see, he's encouraging us here. Add to these things to your faith. And we consciously have to do this. It don't come naturally. Our natural man is to do what natural men do. But no, we have to control that by our own minds, by our own selves. What do? We learn this. We read God's word where he teaches us how to do this. And so we need, that's why it's so important to read the word and understand it. Add to your faith. Add to your knowledge. All of this is what he's encouraging us just to do. And then he gives us a good reason why. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye now neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. There you have it. If you do these things, if you add these things to your faith, it encourages your walk with them. It encourages your faith. You grow in grace. You learn to love the Lord more. All this adds to your life. And it don't come overnight. It don't come with the day you have been baptized. Now you're going to have all these virtues. No. No, it takes experience. It takes patience. It takes knowledge. You grow in this. That's growing in grace. That's growing in the grace of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And that does come. It will come if you're willing and if you're devoted to set your mind on things above and not things on this earth. That's according to God's word. And so you see, he's encouraging us here. But he says, if ye lack these things, he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. So you see, it's a twofold thing here. Not only will it help us to be fruitful in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, but it'll keep us from forgetting that God has erased our sins from our lives. That's an important thing. We don't dare for a minute allow Satan to let us forget that we have been purged from our old nature. We got to be reminded oft times of that. And how do we keep, how does that all happen? Again, it comes down into reading the word, coming to church, hearing the word, singing, however way it comes. It doesn't matter. But if you involve yourself, if you get yourself into that routine, you will find that it does come and that it is there for you to know and understand. And it will help you to be fruitful in doing what God wants us to do. I find that. I've experienced that. I can tell you, yes, that's the way it works. And he verifies this here in this last letter that he writes to us, the second epistle. And wherefore, the rather, he says, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. And if you do these things, ye shall never fall. Another precious promise. If you add to your faith all of these things, if you grow in grace, if you grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, you don't have to worry about falling away. You don't have to, you know, that was one of the things that really actually kept me from coming to the Lord when I was younger. I didn't want to, that was a stringent life, and I wasn't going to be able to keep that, no way. They looked frightening to me. But you've got to understand, you don't have to be afraid. You don't have to worry about that. God will help us. God will see to it. He will make you that you will be neither unfruitful nor barren. But you got to believe that. You got to trust that the Lord will do this for you. And you cannot allow Satan to encourage and to think that you're never going to make it. And he will. He'll come to you and he'll tell you, especially if you do something this little shady, this little not quite right. See? There you are. You're not a Christian. Why do you do these things? Well, because I'm human. I'm in the natural state. But I have to renew my mind so that I don't do these things. And so, Satan, you get behind me because I don't serve you no more. I serve the living God. And we have to understand that. Realize that. Keep that in your mind so that you know and what the Scripture says to you. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Again, another promise. We add these things to our faith. We grow in knowledge. We grow in grace. We grow in the Spirit. We can be assured. We can be rest assured. There's that little word, if we do these things, if we add this to our faith. If we don't, there's that word, little if. And so, if he does, he promises us here that he shall minister unto you abundantly unto everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so he says, wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, that ye know them and be established in the present truth. So you see, his concern, Peter's concern, was that you understand as believers. I understand as believers. The brethren he's writing to understand as believers in Jesus Christ. The only way we can do that, know it and understand it, by the way of remembrance. And let me tell you, sometimes we forget. It's so easy to forget. And sometimes when you get a little older, it's even worse. Believe me, I know. Been there, did that. So you see, we always got to and if we read the word, it helps us remember. You know how you can remember things? Repeat, 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 repeat. You know what that means? That means you read the Bible, and I don't care if you read it again last week, yesterday, whenever, read it again. And if you read it 2 days in a row, read it again. That's the way you can remember. That's the best way to remember. And so this is what he's saying to us here. By the way of remembrance, that we would know and understand what the will of God is for our lives. And this is what he's saying to us. Remember. And then he mentions that he's going to be, that the Lord has revealed to him that he's going to not be here very long, that he's going to pass away. And so he was concerned. And as he says here, for we have not followed cunning device fables when we had made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. So he established this fact that he was with Christ and James and John when they went to the mountain and they saw his transfiguration and they heard that voice as he talks about it here. He heard that voice. He was trying to fortify, if you will, the fact that he was God's chosen apostle. He was God's disciple, Christ's disciple, and he followed the ways of Jesus Christ. And so he knew. He was well established in the faith of our Lord and Savior. And so he wanted to reiterate this to the believers, to you and I, that we have a good reason to believe everything that Peter writes in here. It's the truth. It's God's word. It was preserved for us down through the ages. We have it. Read it. But we have to read it. We have to read it often because sometimes we forget. And this is what he's saying to us here, by the way of remembrance. And even when he deceases, he says, I want you to remember these things. And that's the only way we can. You repeat them in your mind. You read them, you understand them, and you repeat them, you will remember. God will be sure of that. You know, it's interesting me to, we visit Sister Sylvia Ziegler sometime, once in a while. She talks to Jackie, or Elizabeth, several times. And some one of the things that she can do, there's some things that she, since she's had her seizures sometime, she's lost her memory. A lot of things she can't remember. But one thing she remembers, many things that she remembers, is God's word. She can quote some scriptures that I can't. She remembers that. Somehow God has given her that ability to remember. Thanks be to God. And he will give it to us. Again, if we ask, we will receive. If we ask for a good memory, he'll give it to us. I remember visiting an old sister, and one thing she always said, I pray that God will keep my mind a sound mind that I won't forget and that I can remember my Lord and Savior. I'll never forget that. And that's very true. She was up into her late 80s already when I visited with her. So you see, by the way of remembrance, God can see to us, give us this here ability to lead a Christian walk of life, not to fail, not to fall along the way, not to be abandoned by God. No, we can receive all these precious and great promises through God, through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And as he goes on, mentions, but he says, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time, but by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. This, again, is one of the promises that you and I need to remember, to believe in, to trust. The Word of God was not given just by some human interpretation. A lot of people today, there are scholars that try to interpret the Scriptures and try to interpret the Word. And some can do well, some of them get off on a tangent. But you and I need to believe that this prophecy, as he talks about it here, that's the Word of God. It comes by the Holy Spirit. Men moved by God, especially Peter, Paul, James writes, John writes. All of these things give us that hope and that promise, if you will, that the Word of God is true, we can believe in it, we can trust in it, and we can live our lives according to it. The only way, again, that we can do that, by way of remembrance, as well as reading and knowing God's Word. May God bless these words upon our heart and leave room for the Serbian language.